This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
Basketball star Brittany Griner is sentenced to 9 years in prison in Russia. How the U.S. is working to secure her release. And the Bank of England makes its biggest rate hike in 25 years.
The Bank of England's report that they released today will probably be quite a wake-up call for the UK public and for UK politicians. Clearly, the UK economy, much like the US economy, much like the Eurozone economy, has been struggling.
How the move compares to global efforts to rein in inflation. Plus, smaller cities get a chance to face the music. It's Thursday, August 4th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. U.S. basketball star Brittany Griner has been sentenced by a Russian court to 9 years in prison after being convicted of bringing marijuana with criminal intent into Russia in February. Sports reporter Louise Radnovsky says the sentence could clear the way for negotiations between the two countries over her release.
Well, the U.S. had taken several extraordinary steps even before the trial was concluded. It had declared her to be wrongfully detained with unusual swiftness. It had also openly pressed what it has characterized as a substantial proposal to Russia to free her and Paul Whelan, a former Marine who is serving a 16-year sentence on espionage charges. And while the officials from the United States have not publicly commented on the terms of that deal, people familiar with it have said that this is a proposed swap for a Russian prisoner held in the United States, the arms dealer Viktor Bout. So those efforts are ongoing. And on the Russian side, officials had said that they couldn't negotiate in earnest over Ms. Griner's fate because the trial had not concluded and the legal proceedings were separate from political conversations.
Griner's lawyers say they will appeal. Last month, Griner pleaded guilty to bringing marijuana into Russia, but said she packed it by mistake and never intended to violate Russian law. The Justice Department has charged four current and former Louisville, Kentucky police officers in connection with the death of Breonna Taylor. Taylor was fatally shot in her home in March 2020 during a botched police raid carried out with a no-knock warrant. Attorney General Merrick Garland says the officers face charges of civil rights offenses, excessive force, conspiracy, and obstruction.
The federal charges announced today allege that members of the Place-Based Investigations Unit falsified the affidavit used to obtain the search warrant of Ms. Taylor's home, that this act violated federal civil rights laws, and that those violations resulted in Ms. Taylor's death.
The death of Taylor and the killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police 2 months later sparked nationwide demonstrations and calls for police reform. Two of those charged today pleaded not guilty during their first court appearances. Lawyers for the officers could not immediately be reached for comment. Mortgage rates have fallen below 5% for the first time since April. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage hit 4.99% this week, according to a survey by Freddie Mac. Rates are still fairly high, but have been falling quickly after hitting a 13-year high of 5.81% in June. In the past few months, higher borrowing costs and double-digit growth in home prices have pushed many would-be homebuyers out of the market. Goldman Sachs says regulators are looking into the business practices of its credit card unit. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is investigating how the bank handles customer refunds and bill dispute resolutions, its advertising, and how it reports its consumer information to credit bureaus. A Goldman spokesperson said the bank is cooperating with the investigation. Credit card lending is a key component of Goldman's plan to grow its consumer finance arm, which it launched 6 years ago. And U.S. health officials have declared monkeypox a public health emergency. The move aims to speed up distribution of monkeypox vaccines as the number of confirmed or suspected cases in the U.S. surpasses 6,600, according to CDC data. The national emergency was announced amid criticism of the federal government's response to the outbreak. States including New York, California, and Illinois have declared their own states of emergencies. Coming up, the Bank of England warns the UK will enter a recession later this year. How the central bank is trying to ease the pain. That's after the break.
At Outback Steakhouse, your wish is our command. Backed by popular demand, steak and lobster at a special price starting at $19.99. Come enjoy our bold center-cut sirloin seasoned with our signature blend of 17 spices and paired with a buttery, succulent lobster tail. Hurry into Outback Steakhouse where your steak and lobster wishes come true at a price you can't miss. Steak and lobster, starting at $19.99. No rules, just right.
The U.S. and the U.K. have been working to cool soaring inflation by raising interest rates, while at the same time trying to prevent their economies from falling into a recession. Today, the Bank of England made its sixth rate increase in a row, raising its benchmark rate by a half percentage point, the largest single step it's taken in more than a quarter century. But despite the historic rate hike, the central bank gave a gloomy forecast, warning that the UK economy will still fall into a recession later this year. Joining me now with more on the BOE's latest move and how it fits in with the steps other central banks are taking to stem soaring inflation is Wall Street Journal reporter Will Horner. Hi, Will. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Will, put this in perspective for us. How significant is this step for the Bank of England?
It's the largest rate hike in over 25 years. It's the largest since the bank was made independent, which happened in 1997. What's different this time, though, is that at each of its previous meetings, it's raised rates by a much smaller amount, by 0.25 of a percentage point. And so the bank has kind of had this slow and steady approach to raising rates, to fighting inflation. This decision today, it kind of marks a pivot away from that. They're moving away from this slow and steady approach, and they're adopting a much more aggressive approach to fighting inflation.
Now, we have seen other central banks, including the U.S., raise interest rates this year to ward off inflation. How does the Bank of England's approach now compare to that of the Federal Reserve in the U.S.?
So I think you could read what the Bank of England are doing as essentially moving into closer alignment, I suppose, with what the Fed and with what other major central banks across the world have been doing. And so that is using these larger than usual jumps in interest rates to kind of catch up with where inflation is and try and bring it back under control.
There are fears that the UK and the US are headed toward a recession. Is the situation more acute in England right now as compared to the economic slowdown in the US or even the broader European Union?
So I think the Bank of England's report that they released today will probably be quite a wake-up call for the UK public and for UK politicians. Clearly, the UK economy, much like the US economy, much like the Eurozone economy, has been struggling. You know, they've been facing high inflation, tight labor markets, slowing growth. But this report was, it was really quite bleak, actually, about what the UK has in store. Much more so, I think, than many were expecting. And the big reason for that, and this is also the main difference with what the situation is in the US, and that is what's happening with Russian gas supplies to Europe. So European economies, the UK included, have come to depend on those gas supplies quite a lot. Those supplies have been curtailed over recent months. And that's driving gas prices up on this side of the Atlantic quite significantly. And that's having a really big impact on inflation, a negative impact on inflation. It's making it even more sort of rampant. That's the main distinction between the inflation story in the US and the inflation story in the UK and in Europe.
So overall, Will, what does today's move by the BOE and other central banks recently tell us about the strength of the global economy right now and the major concerns economists have moving forward?
I mean, in simple terms, it tells us that the global economy is struggling. More than that, it tells us that we're really not out of the woods yet, that there is much further to go, basically, and more pain ahead, potentially. I think the key question, though, raised by this decision today by the Bank of England is, are central banks going to have the resolve to keep raising interest rates, to keep fighting inflation, to keep trying to bring inflation back down to their targets while their economies are deep in recession? That's what the Bank of England said today. They expect the UK economy to be in recession by the end of the year. They also think inflation will peak around the end of the year. So that puts the Bank of England in a really difficult position where they might have to keep raising rates while the economy is contracting. And that's a really challenging place for them to be, and it's a challenging balancing act. And it's the same challenge that Federal Reserve officials are facing, the same challenge that European Central Bank officials are facing.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Will Horner. Will, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks very much for having me.
And finally, as people moved out of big cities during and even before the pandemic, they found those smaller metro areas were missing something: live music. But entertainment groups took notice, and now a wave of new venues are cropping up across the country. Artists like Kenny Chesney, Josh Groban, and Chris Stapleton are making time to play these new markets. Smaller cities attracted 13% of all artists on tour so far this year, up from less than 10% in 2019, according to a data analysis requested by the Wall Street Journal. Our music industry reporter Ann Steele says fans living in smaller metro areas their entire lives are rejoicing at their newfound access.
To see top artists, they'll have to travel 2-3 hours to go see a show in a major city. And a lot of times doing something like that, that's not just one big night out, that's almost a whole weekend, you know, where you'll have to not only pay to travel there, but stay overnight, pay for food, all of the things like that. So having something that's a more drivable distance, 10 minutes, 30 minutes down the road, makes a big difference for fans' wallets.
And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.